Riva would show up at my apartment with a bottle of wine from time to time and insist on keeping me company. Her mother was dying of cancer. That, among many other things, made me not want to see her. "You forgot I was coming over?" Riva would ask, pushing her way past me into the living room and flipping on the lights. "We talked last night, remember?" I liked to call Riva just as the Ambien was kicking in, or the Sulfatron, or whatever. According to her, I only ever wanted to talk about Harrison Ford, or Whoopi Goldberg, which she said was fine. "Last night you recounted the entire plot of Frantic, and you did the scene where they're driving in the car with the cocaine. You went on and on." Emmanuel Signer is amazing in that movie. "That's exactly what you said last night." I was both relieved and irritated when Riva showed up. The way you'd feel if someone interrupted you in the middle of suicide. Not that what I was doing was suicide. In fact, it was the opposite of suicide. My hibernation was self-preservational. I thought that it was going to save my life. "Now get in the shower," Riva would say, heading into the kitchen. "I'll take out the trash." I loved Riva, but I didn't like her anymore. We'd been friends since college, long enough that all we had in common was our history together, a complex circuit of resentment, memory, jealousy, denial, and a few dresses I'd let Riva borrow, which she'd promised to dry clean and return but never did. She liked to come over to my place, clear a space for herself on the armchair, comment on the state of the apartment, say I looked like I'd lost more weight, and complain about work, all while refilling her wine glass after every sip. "People don't understand what it's like for me," she said. "They take for granted that I'm always going to be cheerful. Meanwhile, these assholes think they can go around treating everyone below them like shit, and I'm supposed to giggle and look cute and send their faxes? Fuck them. Let them all go bald and burn in hell."